Are you listening? I am listening. Am I listening? I am listening. I am listening. Over the years, I've labeled the incessant narrator chattering away in my mind with different names. The first time I remember hearing the term monkey mind or the editor was years ago at a workshop. I laughed out loud when I heard poet, author, and writing teacher Natalie Goldberg instruct us on how to tell it to be quiet in far saltier terms than I'm going to use today. All right, I think I need to fumper with this again. There we go. Okay, so the U.S. There we go. I am listening. I've actually spent a lot of time over the past few weeks noticing my often noisy inner roommate, as Michael Singer teaches in The Untethered Soul. This past week, especially, I had ongoing conversations with what felt like a whole houseful of inner roommates. As I wrote and thought and prayed and meditated and planned and paced and started this message over three times, seeking the perfect words to say today on this official minister candidate weekend. Wow. We were talking so much that I almost didn't hear that quiet voice of God whispering, share your journey. Share your journey. So as I share my journey, I invite you to think about your own journey of what brought you to this moment. And on Friday, I scrapped the talk that was causing so much inner friction. Instead, I do simply want to share my spiritual journey, my winding backdoor road to ministry, so that you know what led me to this moment. This moment this morning that feels full of potential with you, Unity Church, who quite possibly has been calling me back home to walk with you. As my bio tells you, I was ordained through One Spirit Interfaith Learning Alliance in June of 2016. On my page right here, I typed three dots and then stared at them, trying to find a segue that wasn't going to get those roommates all riled up again. How to bring you into my journey from the little girl, Mary Bridget, steeped in my Irish Catholic roots, to becoming an interfaith minister, and to do that without talking at you for 3 hours. In August, when I was here, I brought you into some of those threshold moments of that journey, naming them, and seeing with the gift of hindsight the hand and voice of God in all of those times of transition and transformation. On September 9th, 2011, the voice of God sounded just like my friend Jen. Jen and I had met at my friend Casey's Nia and Yoga studio in 2007, both of us navigating life newly divorced. Nia is a movement practice, for those of you that don't know, that, like yoga, ideally is also a spiritual practice. As we dance with growing awareness of the voices of our body, mind, and spirit, we're invited to choose joy rather than fear as our filter for all of life's circumstances. On that September evening after a Nia class, Jen mentioned that she was all set with her wedding plans to her wonderful new partner, Mark. All set, that is, except for someone to officiate. I laughingly mentioned that my son had his certificate of ministry from the Universal Life Church, and I could see if he was free. And then I looked at her and said, "Wait a minute. I know you. I love you. I will go online and I will do your wedding." We hugged and laughed and cried at the absolute rightness of that. That in this place and through this spiritual practice where we each had found our joy again, I said yes to hold the space for Jen and Mark to make their vows to one another. That was 10 years ago this past weekend. And like all of those transitions that I talked about earlier this summer, I had no idea how much this yes would change my life. Since my mom and dad are here, I'll tell you this part of the story too. Before that wedding, my dad was really worried that it was going to be legal. And my mom wanted to know what I was going to wear. So I stopped by their house on my way to the wedding, and they prayed over me. So many voices in that beginning were whispering to me as the voice of God. I am listening, God. It was also from this Nia community that I was asked to co-celebrate a Hindu, Christian, Jewish wedding. Dennis, I almost said this to you as you told me your joke this morning. A rabbi, a Hindu priest, and a Bridget walked under a huppah. When my friend Casey's son got married, it was incredible to be part of this ceremony that incorporated three traditions, connected and vastly different, but all with love at the heart. It was part of what got me thinking about what is there to these other religious paths that is pulling at me. But it was also the gift of being the unofficial minister in residence, because I was Casey's BFF. That weekend, anything that needed answering was go ask the minister. So stepping into that role of minister called that forth in a beginning way as well. I am listening, God. It was again my friend Jen, whose God voice led me to the profound discovery that I was meant to help commemorate grief as well as joy. The 19-year-old daughter of Jen and Mark's good friends died in her sleep a week into her sophomore year of college. When Jen called me to ask if I could help the family mourn and celebrate this young life and honor her passing, I said yes. In an auditorium of almost 400 grieving, tender hearts, I felt the strength of the divine spirit in me and the simple, beautiful grace of being an instrument of peace. I am listening, God, and you have a very strange sense of humor. A few months later, at a Christmas party at Jen and Mark's house, I stood and chatted with Casey and Mark. He put his hand on my shoulder, Casey being the friend. I didn't really mix up those names. He put his hand on my shoulder and said, "When are you going to start your church? Jen and I don't know where to bring our kids." We talked about the challenge of finding a spiritual home for a family blending two faith traditions that no longer quite fit either parent anymore. I laughingly said, "Someday I'll start Our Lady of the Barefoot Dancers." "Someday I'll find a program that'll give me more credentials than my online certificate." "Someday." As we walked out to the car that evening, Casey turned to me and said, "So, if you weren't afraid of how you're going to pay for it, what would be your excuse for not finding a program?" Sometimes the voice of God is a very pointed question from a friend who knows you well. I am listening, God. And here my lovely Catholic parents enter the story again. Their dear friend Marie, a former Catholic nun, was an ordained interfaith minister. We met for breakfast one chilly winter morning, and the seed for One Spirit Seminary was firmly planted. My first spiritual home was my childhood home. And I know I'm blessed that my early foundation helps me trust that God is absolute good everywhere present. Those early years included plenty of ups and downs as any family of six kids faces. But even before memories of being in church together or the first few years of Catholic grade school, my memories are of praying together as a family. At bedtime, at mealtime, around the Advent candles, in the car, on road trips. Mom, especially, sorry, Dad. He's officially the deacon, but she's the prayer. Mom really helped us turn everything over to God. We didn't always listen, but that invitation was there to turn all of those childhood concerns and later adult concerns, turn it over to God. My mom and dad are still my prayer partners in everything I do. So finding a short answer to explain to folks what it means to be an interfaith minister is a lot like trying to find a short answer for, what is unity? Is that the same as you? One spirit. Unity. It's all about reverence for what connects us, not for whatever seems to separate us. My studies at One Spirit didn't make me an expert on comparative religions. The deceptively simple foundation of the program is to combine studying the world's wisdom traditions intellectually through reading and doing written homework, but more importantly, by committing to exploring some form of practice from each, not in a way to appropriate, but in a way to deeply appreciate and to pay attention to where is their resonance, where is their connection, where is their discomfort and challenge. And where is the voice of God in all of that? Essentially, One Spirit grounded me in a deeper way of listening to the voice of God, the unifying consciousness beneath and within any of the differences wrought by our human expression of our relationship with the divine. In many ways, the religious tradition I know most intimately is Catholicism. It's what I was raised in, it's what I raised my children in, and where I spent much of my adult life. In fact, St. Vincent's is where I know Roger and Martha Mock for 35 plus years. Yet for a host of reasons, that container eventually felt constricting. There, certainly and sadly, there was no room for me to have this kind of public ministry. And so that no led to the yes of One Spirit and my ordination. I am listening, God. I will say yes and yes, and yes, and yes to love. I will be love's hands and heart and voice at work in the world. And I will do all that I can do to be love in action. That's the vow I wrote, or rather, the vow that the voice of God revealed to me when I was ordained. It's so easy to feel the yes when I'm in the flow of living my life from the center. I actually use that with couples when I'm preparing them for marriage preparation. It's so easy to say yes in those moments. But can I pull that vow out of my pocket when the winds of circumstance threaten to pull me back into the hurricane of fear and into listening to those sometimes testy inner roommates? There are times when in the silence, the voice of God within helps me pause, listen, and then yes, I can affirm my vow to be love. And as I come back to again and again, there are times when the only way I can hear that voice of God is in your voice. I am listening. 95% of my role as director of spiritual life at my school was life-giving, challenging in beautiful, beautiful ways, and helped me truly experience the sense of dancing with my sacred purpose. Last December, though, the 5% that was painfully challenging felt like a chain dragging me down. It's been sort of fascinating to look at that experience through the unity principle of how our thinking creates our reality. That line of thought is actually part of the talk that did not let itself get written. May circle back to that. For today, there is this. When I couldn't see my way out of that darkness, the voice of God called to me from the love of the dear ones who walk with me through my life. So many voices of love and encouragement and tangible support. And the voice of God whispered, "Be still, slow down. Breathe." One night in early January, I put myself on a little mini retreat at home. In the quiet, I let myself soften into envisioning the path ahead of me. I actually brought in something for show and tell. On this piece of paper, I let myself play with pastels. John, Frederick, if you're out there, I also am afraid of drawing. But I let myself play with the pastels, creating a finger labyrinth. And in that quiet space came the insight, the way is winding and yet clear. If I steer from my center. On the back, this is why I have the tissue in this hand. On the back, in bright magenta pen, I just let the voice of my deepest consciousness stream out across the page. There are words that were, I swear, calling me into the house that I found in Albany in January. There are words about those grandbabies who are my new soulmates. But here is the piece that resounded and gave me chills. When Roger reached out to me this summer, "Hey, Bridget, welcome back to Albany. Did you know Unity Church is looking for a new senior minister?" These are some of the words on this sort of scrap of paper. "I am manifesting my next livelihood. I claim it even while I remain open to it. I work with people of deep integrity who collaborate and work for a better world. My livelihood supports me, but also makes way for justice and equity and beloved community. I work with others who are working on themselves and on changing the world with open hearts, intelligence, humility. I'm working for racial justice, and I work with people who can laugh at themselves and value rest, joy, and good hard work. My work makes safe spaces, brave spaces, joy-filled spaces." Yesterday, yesterday, in that rich, tender, vulnerable sharing of that workshop, you gave me the gift of co-creating a brave, safe, joy-filled space together. God comes to you disguised as your life. This simple truth in the quote by Paula Darcy echoes in my spiritual journey, and I imagine in yours as well, at every turn. My whole life is in God, and always, always, it is my individual inner need to slow down and listen, combined with my need to listen in community, that awakens and reminds me that God is everywhere present. And that then helps me pull that vow out of my pocket and step fully, humanly, in ways graceful, and in ways sometimes bumbling, into saying, "Yes, I will be love in action, always and in all ways." So, my friends, thank you for listening. On this morning, when I am feeling the joyful weight, not the heavy weight, of this potential and possibility that we have actually called out to the universe for each other, I will leave you with another round of wisdom from Jan Richardson, a poem that is in dark blue around the edges that anchored me that January night and so many times after that. Blessing that makes a way for you. What I know is that this blessing will begin as soon as you set out. That this blessing will meet you in every step. That it is gladly bound to you and cannot do without you. That you are part of the path that this blessing makes, that it creates a way not only for you, but through you and in you, that it finds its road as you find yours. I can hardly fathom how it is that this blessing is already waiting for you. Even as you fashion it step by faltering step. But there it is, in all its wending mystery. So may you meet it with courage. May you enter it with clarity. May you walk it with wisdom. May you travel it with joy. May you come to it not as one buffeted by chance, but as one who has chosen. Uncertain, perhaps. Unready, perhaps. But this path, this one, with abandon. This. May it be so, and so it is. Amen.